advise. I just want, I want to, I, Marcy, are you going to be able to sit comfortably through all this?
Oh, absolutely. I'm just so looking forward to being with everybody for the next hour.
Yeah.
It's just so healing.
Well, this day, I mean, this is one of those days that, I mean, it's the day after something that was too big to comprehend the day that it happened. And the shock value of this whole thing in New York and in Washington, the shock value literally, it actually puts, I think this is the first time since the day that John Kennedy was assassinated, that I've seen the nation in actual shock. And then, well, it was a different kind of shock, anyway. So I had asked you to begin class. You know, how are you all? How are you feeling? And we had a chance to talk about that. And that question is actually a very powerful question. How are you feeling? And there's a powerful coincidence between that question and the events of the world, you know, and the subject we're studying now. Big, big coincidence. Just happens that something of enormous impact has happened that will affect lots of things, including, I think, first of all, the very first place that it has an impact, other than on the people who suffered it physically, is on the feelings of the people who watched it. And what I want you to do now is I want you to spend a minute in silence consulting your inner state. Just do that, and we'll talk about feelings and the cards of the suit of cups when we're done with that. So do that now. Okay, it's only a short little time. I'm going to volunteer to go first on this one so you'll understand what I mean. I would like each of us to say as succinctly as possible how exactly you're feeling right this moment. And I feel trembly. I feel like I've got a hole in my stomach somewhere. I feel on the edge of pain. I feel as though I'm being carried, just like I was carried on some kind of a stretcher or a chair or something, being in fragile state by the good wishes and support of all the people that I know around me, including you guys. I feel edgy and a little nervous and uncertain, physically and otherwise. That's how I feel right now. I'm going to go down sort of the list, starting at the, you know, top of my little list of people in class and going down to the bottom. Barbara, how about you?
I feel very unsettled, and I have ever since I first saw CNN, where when we turned it on in the office, it was when the second plane had just hit the tower, and it had this increasingly nervousness. I'm so unsettled. It's like, you know, when I close my eyes, I just see lights bouncing everywhere. You know, it's like no focus, I can't calm this, I can't center it. I'm just, you know, this kinetic energy, you know, just boom, 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 just nerves. And it's very unsettling. I cannot calm down.
Okay.
And it's really, I hardly slept last night. And, you know, I'm not there. And I don't know anybody in the building. I know some people who were killed in the Pentagon. But I, you know, it's funny. I'm just so affected.
Ruth Ann, how about you?
I think I'm still dissociated. I'm pretty numb. I have not cried, except for a couple of, you know, threats of it, of tears occasionally, but generally not. And I'm a pretty emotionally based person, so to me that tells me that there's something off about that reaction. It's not a normal reaction for me. I have not been able to express anything. I've been, in some ways, for me, eerily calm. And part of that, I think, is my spiritual practice. And yoga's really helped me a lot with that. And so I do credit that to some of my equanimity. But I think it's part of that, what somebody said earlier, that it's too big to wrap your head around it. I can't really comprehend it.
Thanks. Kelly, how about you?
I feel like I've lost my grounding. I don't feel centered at all. And very edgy, shaky. And I've noticed that I've started having asthma problems, like my lungs are getting crushed, but I know it's just this. Not real. That's where I'm at. I'm just real isolated and edgy and like there's a weight.
Mm-hmm. Good. I don't mean good that you feel that way, but good that you were able to say it. Peggy?
I'm funny. I have, for me, I've always had a very rough time with emotions. I don't recognize them. I don't display them well. But I feel like there's an awful lot of water just bubbling under the surface. Like they're there and they're very roiled.
Yeah. Okay. Marcy?
It's hard to even express or articulate because this week, as I said prior to this, the water that's been pouring out of my head, so even though I feel so vulnerable and so confused now in the aftermath, I was experiencing such fear even Monday, before this even, yesterday morning when I woke up. I had such fear before I even was watching television because I was watching the Today Show when, you know, I saw this and just thought it was a really bad movie and it just kept getting worse. But I was experiencing such fear in the last week. So right now, Om Namah Shivaya has, like with Ruth Ann, has really helped me. And I don't know if I'm just in shock or numb, but
yeah.
I just also keep feeling so much for the families that I'm afraid to even go there because the pain will just drown me.
Yep. Martha?
There's something that's good that came for me. It was I had all these people calling me and leaving me messages and they wanted to know if I was okay, even though I'm not in Manhattan, but I'm relatively close. So it was good getting, like, reconnecting with people because, you know, it was like an emergency call, so I had to, like, turn things very quickly and get back in touch with them and let them know that I was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it was that sense of, you know, opening, it was like a feeling like a fresh air coming in. You know, I'm reconnecting with people and letting things in. To me, it's like it's putting things into perspective. There's that thing of letting go and maybe letting new things in, more like in terms of, like, you know, the flow of life and
mm-hmm.
not flowing.
That's very interesting. Good.
More like, you know, is this the life? You know, not is this the life, am I living the life that I want? I am, but more like, have I achieved a perspective on life that I think I need to have more so?
One thing that I'd like to add to that, that thing that I have been feeling is a tremendous amount of love, both ways, you know, for people and from people, and that's been really comforting.
Yeah, I for example, I had a relationship, a very, very good friend, where we had been very close, and for some reason something happened in the past few months, and, you know, I just kind of, like, relaxed the friendship. But she left me, like, 5 messages on my machine. She was in a panic. She was looking for me. She didn't know where I was. I was here at a hotel in New Jersey. And all of a sudden, I realized, you know, it was like that letting go of that grudge or that resentment and just letting the person in. You know what I mean? And it's like...
Yeah. All right. Well, that's worth having said, and I think it's important to have said, and one of the things that's valuable about just our getting together is that in time like this that it's possible to have a community and be able to say things to each other like that. We're supposed to be studying the suit of cups tonight, the first few cards of the suit, and I think I'd be right in saying that there is no one in class tonight who doesn't know that the suit of cups is the suit that is reputed to be the suit of the heart. It's the suit of the emotions. And I'm going to try to get to the center of this as much as I can. There's a lot of extraneous things or extra things or, you know, fineries around the edges. But there's kind of a core to this, and it's interesting because one of the meanings of the heart is the center, and we talked about that last week. So I'm going to try and get as much as I can to the center of this in a strange sort of way. I'm going to give you only the bare essentials that I can think of about the cards, the ones that we're studying, the Ace through Five of Cups tonight. And I'm going to give you the core of the meaning of those 5 cards that we'll be studying, and that's at least my idea of the core. And of course, everybody would have a different sense of that, but we'll see if it makes some difference. The first thing that you need to know about this suit or any other suit is that there is only one of the thing you're studying. There is only one cup, only one heart. And that heart is the container of all our feelings, every one of us. And each of the cards in the suit of cups is just, all it is, it's a place to stand from which we can look at the only cup that there is. There are 14 such places to stand in each suit, and we're going to be looking at the first 5 of them. And to understand the view from each card, we call the card a number. In other words, we say, oh, this is the Ace of Cups, this is the 2 of Cups, this is the 3 of Cups, etc. And so the Ace is the first place to stand, and the 2 is the second place to stand, and the 3 is the third place to stand. And each one of these places, when you stand there and you look at the cup from that place, will show you something different, a different facet, a different angle, a different view, a different understanding. Now, some of you know that tarot has its own tradition on the perspective of the numbers. There's lots of different kinds of numerology, and there's lots of ways that numbers can be interpreted, but there is a particular way of dealing with the numbers that's associated with tarot. And I want to go over that with you a little bit, and I want to apply it to the cards that we're studying tonight. So the first is the Ace. You don't even necessarily have to take the cards out for this, but if you have them out in front of you, you can look at them as we speak. The pictures in these cards actually are not talking about the issues that I'm going to be talking about tonight. They're founded on more on the astrology and some of the other aspects of the cards than on the numbers. To some extent, the numbers are there, but you can look at the pictures and not see what I'm saying. So from a certain point of view, you're going to have to do something tonight that is not normally done. Look at the pictures and ignore them.
Look at the pictures, I'm sorry?
And ignore them.
Oh, I see.
If you find any correlation between what I'm saying and what the pictures are showing, good. If not, don't worry about it, because remember that the pictures are pictures of specific aspects of interpretation, and those are not the ones we're going to be talking about. Now, this Ace that we were talking about, The ace is literally number one. And Tara regards the ace as the fountainhead, the root of the power of the suit. And the Ace of Cups is actually called the root of the power of water, which, of course, as you know, is the element associated with the suit of cups. The root of the power of water. It's the place where all the aces are the places where the energy, shape, form, nature of a whole universe of possibility comes rushing into existence. It's the place where it begins. Now the game begins here with the ace. If you could imagine being in Holland, and you know that in Holland they have built dikes to keep the ocean out because the land is lower than the ocean around it. And they basically built these dikes to keep the ocean out, and they drained the country. That's why it's called the lowlands. And if the dikes were penetrated, if there was a hole in the dike, the water would come rushing in. If you were in a ship and somebody drilled a hole in the fabric of the ship, the water would come rushing in. If you were if you had a balloon and you blew it up and you poked a hole in the balloon, the air would go rushing out. The hole, the pinhole in the fabric of things, keeps the fluid, the flowing things are inside and outside, keeps those things on their proper side of the fabric of things. But when you open a hole, everything comes pouring through. And the ace is the hole in the fabric of divinity, in the fabric of the secret of divinity, which is totally and completely impenetrable from this side. But through the hole of the ace rushes a universe of possibility. All the water in creation comes pouring through the ace. It's the fountainhead. And at that stage of things, there is no possible way to determine or understand the specifics of that water, of that flow. It's so immense, it's so overwhelming, it's a brand new experience. Unlike anything else, each ace allows to come through it one particular energy. And the energy here is the water of the spirit, the water of the soul, the water of tears, the water of laughter, the water of the feelings. So when you look at the ace, just be aware, when you look at the card, that card is a symbol of that entryway into the universe of all of those things. Then you come to the two. It is said of the two, now the two is the second, literally the second step in the manifestation of the flow of water in the suit of cups. And in the two, there is the first, what would you call it? The first idea, the first wisdom, the first sense of specific specialness about this energy that's pouring through. It's the first place where you, in a moment, in a dazzling moment of understanding, you perceive, you see, you grasp, it's that there's a flash of what this energy is about. Oh my God, water, oh! And there's something in you that is able to express a great exclamation of surprise and wisdom of this special thing. It's a flash. It's a flash that continues to flash, but you can't hold on to it. It's too big to grasp. It has a quality that's noticeable. This is water now. It's not just divine stuff pouring through that you can't really understand. Now all of a sudden you've got this blazing moment, continuous blazing moment of wisdom. You see, oh my God, look at that! And you understand water. And then comes the three, the third thing. And the third thing, actually, I've been using the word understanding prematurely, because here is where understanding comes in. The blaze of intuitive perception that you get in the two, which, even though it has a quality that's very distinct, can't be grasped the way it stands. It's too much of an explosion of understanding. To really understand a thing, you have to put it in a container. You have to hold on to it. You have to have some place where, some way to give shape to this magnificent blaze of understanding, of this blaze of wisdom. That third card is the place where that happens. You put the water in pipes. You put the water in conduits. You put the water in lakes and streams and rivers and oceans. You put the water in cups. You put a boundary around it. And once you put a boundary around it and contained this blazing wisdom, all of a sudden you can examine it at length. You can take it apart. You can put words to it. You can literally understand it. You can grasp it. You can use it. You can do things with it. All of a sudden, the power of the emotions, in this case, becomes a usable, functioning way of dealing with what was up to now beyond the ability of a mind or a soul or a spirit to grasp. Just too much. Now it isn't too much. Now all of a sudden you can do it. This is the function of the mother. The first one was God himself or herself. The second one was the father. The blaze, the ejaculation of spectacular delight in this newfound energy. And the third is the containment of the womb of the mother. And it's called understanding. And that's the position of number three. Now remember that this sense that I'm giving you of the numbers is not just about cups. It's about all of the suits, but apply it to cups. Because what we're containing here, we're containing the element of water. We're containing the emotions. We're providing shape to everything. Because cups is about shape. Cups is about the heart, the container. Then we go to the number four. Now four, all of a sudden, four is on the other side of a huge abyss. To get from the three to the four, you have to travel such an enormous distance. There's such a spread between three and four that to cross that space can be considered to be an undoable task. And yet it gets done. The four is the perception of the energy of the suit, in this case, the energy of the emotions in the heart, as a form of love and kindness, a flowing of a fountain of goodness. This is the four. And then, from that point, we cross to the opposite side of the universe. From love and kindness, we pass over to austerity, contraction, and severity. In the case of the cup, we go to the contracted heart. From love and kindness, we go to sorrow and pain and contraction. And that's the five. Now, that's true of all the fives, but this is the five of cups. This is the contracted heart. And if it were swords, it would be the contracted mind. If it were pentacles, it would be the contracted body. But this is the contracted heart.
But isn't five about expansion?
No. Not in this case. Not in the case of the numbers of tarot. What makes you think that it's expansion?
Well, five in numerology, for example, expansion opportunities.
Well, as I said, there are a number of different ways, to coin a phrase, there are a number of different ways of looking at numerology. There are all kinds of numerological systems. The one that is appropriate here, the one that is appropriate to tarot, the one that is native to tarot, is this particular one, and it happens to be Kabbalistic rather than Pythagorean in nature.
Okay, because I was going to say Pythagoras.
Yeah, Pythagorean numerology comes from a different source, has a different end, looks in a different direction, speaks about different things, and uses numbers in a totally different way.
So in this case, 5 is about contraction.
Yes, 5 is about contraction. Exactly. And that's why, when you take a look at all the 5s in tarot, the 5 of cups, the 5 of wands, the 5 of pentacles, the 5 of swords, all of them show difficulty, all of them show trouble. They're all contractions. They're all painful in one way or another. Now, that doesn't necessarily, that isn't all, it isn't, there's a lot to that. If we had the time to go into the details of what contraction actually means, we would be spending a bit more time on this than we have tonight.
But isn't the 3 the first contraction?
Yes. The 3 is the first contraction, but it is not understood as severity. It's the contraction that is necessary to contain the energy that comes pouring out of the 1 and the 2. It's only the container. It's only, if you were to imagine going to the ocean, which is flowing freely, and if you went there with a cup, if you went there with a bucket or with a bowl, you could scoop water out of the ocean and carry it away with you. If you went to a river and you wanted fresh water, you could take a bucket with you and carry some of that back to your hut, back to your castle, back to your house, and use it. If you can't put the water in a bucket, you can't use it. I mean, you can go to the bank and drink, but you can't use the water in any other way. In order for it to be, in order to transport it, in order to make use of it, you need to contain it. And so that bucket, that initial shape, that initial form that contains the water, is actually, in a way, the first kindness. It's the first way in which the energy that comes pouring through the divine gap can be managed by consciousness. If you were in the grip of an emotion that was absolutely overwhelming, for which there was no container, no container of understanding, you would perish from the sheer power of the emotion. How many of you have ever experienced a racking, overwhelming tide of emotion, either joy or sorrow? Anybody?
Sure. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, you know that what happens is that the container of your body, the container of your mind, and the container of your heart actually, in a certain way, shatter, convulse, and become inoperable.
That's why you call it a broken horse.
That's right. Your container literally can't contain
the feeling.
The feeling is too vast, too powerful. It's a tidal wave, an emotional, you know, piece of oblivion. You just actually become, you know, rolled under by it. So what the container of the 3 does is to give you the ability to take the enormous welling of energy in the form of water and hold it and use it, understand it, and make it something that will water your life, will provide the benefits of water to all the rest of your existence. So from that point of view, although it's a contraction in the form of literally a container, as compared to something that was uncontained, it is contracted, it is kind and useful.
How does that compare with the eight contraction?
Well, actually, the 8 is another form. We're going to get to the 8 next week. So what we're looking at is that in the 10 numbers,
mm-hmm.
there are 3 completely expansive, energetic numbers, 3 completely contracted, containing numbers, and 4 numbers of mediation and mildness, where actually all of this, these two opposites can be put into some form of activity that becomes a useful manifestation. So 3 are expansive, 3 are contractive, and 3 are mediated. And we're working with all 3 levels of that tonight, but only in the first 5 numbers. We have in the first 5 numbers the 1, which is in the middle. Even though the energy of the suit comes pouring through, it is still in the area of what could be called mildness. It has not even... It is so abstract, it is so beyond It's the one, the ace, is so beyond grasping, so beyond even experiencing, that it doesn't have any effect at all.
Well, you think expansive, contracted, and what's the third one?
Mild and mediating. It's actually there is that middle set of numbers is actually the place where action takes place. In the place of a sheer expansion, you have something like an explosion, which is not usable. It's energy which is not in a usable state. The purely contracted form by itself is contraction. It's empty of content. Without the explosion coming from the active side of the numbers, the contracted side of the numbers by itself is dry, and it's achingly dry and empty, cold and powerless by itself to accomplish anything. When it's filled with the energy of the right hand side of the expansive side, between the two of them, they sort of empty or become or enter a state of usableness, which is a center between the two. And that's the middle group of numbers, 1, 6, 9, and 10. So the ace is the first of those. And the reason why it's in the middle is because it's the very first effective expression of the energy of the suit. It's effective because it will make all the rest of it happen. But it's actually sort of beyond comprehension. The two is an explosion of perception, not usable as it stands, but serving as the source, the wellspring for everything else. The three contains the explosion of the two, makes it possible to grasp it, hold it, and use it, and is ultimately kindly, and produces everything else that comes afterwards. The four is explosive again. It explodes with the milk of kindness and love. And from that explosion of love comes the cup, the container of the five, which is incredible. It is as incredibly narrow and demanding and explicit as the love and the kindness are expansive and uncontainable. And what happens with the five is that everything that passes through the five, all of that power of love and kindness in the four that passes through the five, is reduced to an unimaginable purity. Nothing but absolute perfect purity passes through the five. It demands of everything that goes through it perfection. So when you look at the five from only the point of view of not understanding very much about it, the only feeling that you have is that you're being pulped. You're being squeezed. Nothing passes through it that doesn't hurt. And yet the end result of it is to produce a kind of purity.
Distillation, then?
It's a distillation. It's the ultimate distillation. You got it. Now, these are simple ideas, even though they're not the easiest thing in the world to express. But they're not difficult ideas in themselves, this idea of force and form and mediating action. Those are not the hardest things in the world to understand, and yet, they're fairly subtle. Now, you have to realize that this is only the beginning of an interpretation of a card. All we're doing... Hold on a second. When and if any of you ever want this tape, you'll get a nice blast of siren in there. But in any case, if we were going to do a complete understanding of the card, if we were going to exercise the function of the three and try to understand all the aspects of the card, which is sort of what the three does, we would have to look at, among other things, the usual considerations of alchemy and astrology and esoteric Christianity and masonry and, you know, and hermeticism and all those things. We're not going to do that tonight. We're going to leave that for another time. All we're talking about now is looking at these cards from the perspective that each one is a place to stand. Hold on a second. I used the dreaded mute, you know, pause button, but I put it back this time. Anyway, so now what I want to do now, instead of a theoretical thing, I want to do an exercise in reality. Okay? For me, and probably for many, if not all of you, the events of yesterday that we were talking about have left a powerful emotional imprint. For me, it's left an imprint on my heart, on my mind, on my spirit, and to the and to some extent, to that point, they affect me physically also. I mean, I have headaches, I have inability to sleep, there are all sorts of things. And the ripples of karma that extend from those moments of flaming destruction yesterday, they'll leave a mark for sure that will be felt by everybody in the world to one degree or another. Everybody will notice. And some of those ripples, some of those karmic effects, will take the form of large events. Some will be public and political, some will be spiritual, some will be private. And what I want you to do now, I want you to take the five cards that we're working with tonight, and I want you to shuffle them. Do that now. And I want you to draw one card from these five at random. Don't look at it yet, and place it face down in front of you. Now, I want you to put your right hand above the card, palm down. Close your eyes.
Left palm, I'm sorry, which one?
Right palm would probably be better. Close your eyes. Keep your palm above the card. And breathe and relax. Just relax. Let your consciousness enter the space of your heart. Become aware of the cave of your own heart. Go deep down into it. Feel the emotions that are connected with the events that we've been discussing. Take your time. Now, let your feelings pass right through the palm of your hand and flow into the card underneath. Let the card become a cup to hold your emotions. Take a deep breath, and when you're ready, open your eyes. The face-down card in front of you is now filled to the brim with your feelings, whatever feelings those are. Turn over the card. Your task now is to read from the card a prediction about things that are to come, that are the results of what happened in New York and Washington yesterday. Let the liquid of your feelings be shaped by the perspective of the card that you have drawn. Remember the meaning of the numbers. In spite of the pictures on the card, let the final sense of your prediction be shaped by the perspective of the number. I want to take 2 minutes of contemplation to do this. Begin now. Now I want you to take pen and paper, and I want you to write down what you felt, what you thought, and what you saw about the future in the card that you drew. Remember, this is a prediction. We'll take 5 minutes to do this. Be detailed. Be careful. Say what you really think. Now, we've all become prophets. Every one of us has made a prediction. I don't know if you're aware that some people are quoting Nostradamus these days.
And yes, I've received several copies.
Right. Well, here's your chance to be likewise. Each of you, hopefully, will have made a prediction for yourself, for the country, for the world, for things public or things private, things spiritual, things economic, things political. And I'd like to hear what each of you has come up with. Martha, what card did you draw?
I drew the Two of Cups.
And what was your prediction, and why?
I made no prediction. For some reason, this is the only card that I wasn't able to hear what you had to say about the card. I don't know what happened. Maybe it was a combination of you spoke too fast, and or I had to attend to something here in the room. For some reason, I went back to my notes, and this is the only one that I didn't write anything about. When I looked at it in passing, I said, okay, this gives me a feeling of letting go, flow, dialogue, flowing. But then at the same time, I also started getting very annoyed and frustrated. And that was interesting in itself because of the fact that I think from the past few days, the feeling is more like I you know, look for some kind of safety, predictability. Tonight, pretty much, the format of the class has changed. You know, I'm going like, the wall is here asking me to make a prediction. A prediction? I've never made a prediction. I don't know how to read tarot cards. You just mentioned Kabbalah, and I'm going like, oh my God, and now I have to also learn Kabbalah. There's just this feeling of I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by the world. I'm overwhelmed by everything. And I just want to be protected, and I want to go into the cave, into the heart, into the cup, and just, you know, why just can't things be still, and why can't I just remain in the cup?
It's interesting that you should say this, because there is a quality in the two, in all the twos, that is overwhelming. There is no safety in the two. The two is a blast of intense experience, and you can't rest there. That's the virtue of the container, which can be found in the three and in the five. In the two, there is no rest.
And that's exactly how it felt.
Uh-huh. So you got the point. And in the sense that you feel that now, and that what I was asking from you was a prediction, either personally or on some larger scale, then my sense would be that if you were going to predict, you would say that the energy here is open-ended. That there is, in these events, such an overwhelming amount of input as to leave people feeling unsafe and riding a roller coaster instead of finding a haven.
And you have no control.
No control.
The feeling is like life is weird, and my life is weird because things can come into my life and just affect me, and you know,
good.
And I have to deal with it.
So for the prediction then would be largely for yourself. And the sense of that energy continuing and carrying you forward as though you were riding the crest of a tidal wave, unable to prevent it, unable to do anything but go where it carries you. And it's an interesting prediction. And even though you didn't know that you were predicting that, that seems to be the sense of it. And what I will give you the option of doing is either accepting my interpretation or possibly later on your own, coming up with your own sense of that. Marcy, what card did you draw?
Wait, before we go ahead. On, who just called in?
It's me. Oh, hi, Minnesota.
Yeah,
okay. I tried for an hour, and all the circuits are busy, so...
Yeah.
I'm glad that you were able to come as much as you could. You've come sort of at the end of it, so now what you can do is listen.
Okay.
So Marcy, what card did you draw?
I drew the Four of Cups, and this is an incredible reading for myself, and I hope that I can find the words to express feelings and the concept. Basically, I look at this card, and my forecast is using this as the card has the tree behind it, if everyone there has a picture of the card. But based on the tree, and also based on the number four, which is about building, it's about foundation, about safety, it's about security. So this was such a perfect card. My forecast is that in God's master plan in healing this planet, unfortunately we're healing it through fear right now, that the walls literally have come down, the unfortunate metaphor being the Twin Towers, so that these walls have come crashing down in order for us to take down our own barriers and our own walls, and to open up and to have more mercy for ourselves and for one another.
Now,
and as a unified whole, we are rebuilding, because again, the four being the emperor, being the building the empire, we are rebuilding and recreating a new foundation, a new heaven and a new earth in this new millennium.
So you feel that as a prediction, you can look forward to the process by which things are rebuilt.
Absolutely, that is a unified whole, that the spirit that we all, even our small group here, that the light will overcome in the face of terror and fear, that we are master building a new foundation based on love.
Do you feel that this applies to yourself, to the general world at large, to anything in particular? To what level does this prediction deal with?
From my perception, it's all of the above, what you mentioned, because again, as above, so below.
Okay, good. I'm delighted. An excellent interpretation. Peggy, what card did you draw?
Five of Cups.
That's an interesting one. Okay,
I drew the Five of Cups.
Yeah.
And at first, this would be, to me, it feels more like a national prediction. Of course, there's the obvious. Sorrow, loss. But I looked down at the liquids that were spilled, and one was red, and I saw that it was a feeling of not only the blood, but the feeling of loss of power, the loss of strength. There's an immediacy to this part of the prediction.
Mm-hmm.
One was green, and I saw that as two things again, the feeling of, this country's always felt very victorious, very strong. There's almost a feeling of that victory has been lost. It's tarnished or torn somehow. And I also see that perhaps it can be used as an excuse to dig into the nature, into our wildlands, for further drilling and other things, that this might take a different stance. I noticed for the first time that this card has a line across it in the bottom. So again, there's this feeling of the immediacy and the schism, feeling isolated from everything else. But then, once you step across the boundary, and I saw farther into the future beyond the person that's standing there, and this feels like a very cynical interpretation, but literally it becomes almost like the Oklahoma bombing did. Water under the bridge, and that the country, the big powers, big business, in the long run, will take very little notice.
Uh-huh. Very interesting. Very interesting. Good. Kelly.
I got the Four of Cups, and in some ways mine was similar to Marcy's, but more personal, more of a ability to what I wrote. That from the things that I was pouring into the cup, which were not all that lovely, could come an empathy and a sense of community and a bit of that added, of communication added to more of a personal landscape. I mean, I'd like to say it'd be a groundswell, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
More of an outreach to other people and a focus on what is good and what is right, as opposed to, you know, what is painful or how to get revenge and that sort of thing. Along those lines.
For whom do you see this being true, and at what distance in the future?
I see it immediately on a personal level, but communally, I would see it as a very slow groundswell.
Okay,
is
good.
Is what I was looking at. Just kind of a person-to-person thing.
Right.
Sort of like everybody's lining up to give blood. You know?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing is what I was thinking along the terms of.
Good. Excellent. Barbara. Are you there? It's possible that we lost Barbara on the call somehow. I don't know. Well, that may be. So, in that case, we'll just, if she comes back, I hope that we'll hear from her. If not, I'll give her a call later and see what's going on. But Ruth Ann and I, neither one of us actually drew the cards, although I had made my choice in my mind and did my prediction to myself. Ruth Ann, did you do that?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I had sort of chosen one in my mind, and then when the time came to actually turn over a card, it wasn't the one I had chosen. And I also wound up with the Four of Cups. And it was sort of like a two-sided thing. I really felt that love was the operative word here, and that there would be Well, actually, you mentioned something to me earlier today. I don't know if you were planning on bringing it up in this class or not. I'm going to give away your little insight because it's appropriate here, where you said that you came to realization that what was happening with the hand coming out of the cloud was that the meditating figure under the tree was bringing that cup through his meditation.
Yeah.
That he was manifesting that offering of love through his own spirit. That it didn't just happen. It wasn't just like, you know, an unconnected out of the blue thing. And so I was really seeing that the more we as a, not only a nation, but globally, can tap into our own spirituality and our own sense of love, we can generate more of it. We can draw that to us, bring in that grace. On the other hand, if you're working with the picture, sometimes a lot of the standard interpretation of this card tends to be, oh, well, he's got his eyes closed and he's not seeing what's being offered to him, and he's refusing it. And I really see that happening too. I see both forces happening in the world, that even those of us who can focus on the loving aspect of community and trying to rebuild through that way, there will be others who will refuse to see it and refuse to accept it. And, you know, who will take a different road.
That's really interesting because I drew for myself the Three of Cups, which is the first time that's come up tonight.
Yeah, that was the one that I had chosen in my mind, but it didn't happen.
Now, the Three of Cups, I didn't look at the picture at all. I thought of it entirely in terms of the Three as being understanding, the way in which the force of the cup, the force of the heart, is contained and understood and made use of. And I looked at the understanding of the cup in terms of prediction, and my sense was this. There will be a change in the understanding of the world. There will be a change, there's already begun to be a change in my understanding of the powers of the heart and the powers of emotion and the powers of relationship. My sense of connection to the people in the world has begun to change. My sense is that that everyone will be touched by the power of the heart in one way or another, that they will learn to understand it differently, however they understand it now, or however they understood it yesterday or the day before yesterday. There will be a change in that understanding. For some, the change will amount to adding scar tissue to an already cynical perception. For some, it'll be an opening up to the powers that Ruth Ann was talking about, the invocation of grace from a difficult and painful time and period. There will be, as Peggy said, a whole host of powers that be that will not understand anything different at all, that will go on as usual, they get a faint sense, a quick breath of a new understanding, and they'll reject it and go back to business as usual. There will be those who will not reject it, who will see it, and will, for whom it will be so important that it will dominate their emotional landscape for a good long time to come. And my sense was that between those who saw it and accepted it, and those who saw it and rejected it, those who understand and those who refuse to understand, between those two groups, there will be a war. There will be a war of the spirit to begin with. And the war of the spirit will progress all the way down to guns and clubs and knives. And that there will be a face-off between those who grasp the meaning of the heart and those who refuse to grasp it. And that it'll have an enormous consequence, of which I'm not altogether sure.
Well, I hope you're right. I hope there will be a rebellion.